The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
Thank you, folks. Well, next week we're going to start a new series called Times of Refreshing. You know, there are things that happen in our lives that just suck us down into the muck and mire of everyday living, and we need refreshed. And so we're going to spend some time between next week and December talking about what God says in His Word refreshes us personally, how it brings refreshing into our lives. And so I challenge you to plan to be a part with us. Today, we're going to bring to a close this series on generations. If you had a choice, if God just said, which would you choose? Would you choose to have an ordinary life or an extraordinary life? I don't think anybody really wants to have an ordinary life. We all want extraordinary. What do you think God wants for you? Well, Jesus gave us a clue. He said, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But He said, I've come that you might have life and have it in its fullest. He wants us to have extraordinary living. And even when you look at Jeremiah 29:11 is one of my favorite verses. God says, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. He says, I want to make a difference in your life. I want to make a difference in your life so that you can make a difference in the lives of others. God says, I want to work in you and with you and through you and for you so that you can be not only a benefit and blessing to others, but you can bring honor to me. Well, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Jabez. Jabez. You may have heard about Jabez. Years ago, a man by the name of Bruce Wilkinson wrote a little book. It wasn't a very long book at all. You could read it in an hour. But he wrote a book about the prayer of Jabez. It sold 9 million copies almost immediately. If I'd have thought about writing that book, we wouldn't have to worry about getting money for the building. We'd just pay for it. But it was a great book on the prayer of Jabez. And when you look at the life of Jabez, the total biography of his life in the scripture is less than 80 words in the English language. But in those 80 words, he shows us how to ask God that we might go from ordinary to extraordinary. If you've ever read the book of 1 Chronicles, you know that the first 4 or 5 chapters improve your speed reading. Because the first 4 or 5 chapters of 1 Chronicles reads like a Hebrew telephone book. I mean, it is just one name after the next name after the next name. And pretty soon you're going, okay. But you get to chapter 4 and there's a speed bump in the speed reading. Because it's there that the Bible says there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. And all of a sudden, we've been reading name after name after name, nothing, no commentary, no description, nothing. And now all of a sudden, we get to Jabez, something different about Jabez. Jabez is remembered not for what he did, for his accomplishments, he's remembered for what he prayed. And he's not content with being average in his prayer. He prays a big prayer, not for who he is. He prays a prayer for who he can be, who God wants him to be. When you listen to his name, Jabez, you don't think that he would be special because his very name means pain. Have you ever said to someone or had somebody say to you, you are a pain in the neck? I've met a lot of Jabezes in my time. He wasn't a man who had a silver spoon in his mouth. It seems he had a very hard background. wasn't educated in this fine university. He hadn't access to a lot of money. He seems to be a guy who lived a pretty hard life growing up. Evidently, his birth caused his mother great pain. And maybe she said to him, you know, every day, I can't believe how much pain you caused me. But he prays a prayer and says, God, I don't want to be ordinary. I want to be extraordinary. And in the four things that he teaches us in this prayer, he shows us how to overcome obstacles, how not to accept anything less than what God has to offer us. He teaches us to look away from the ordinary, actually to despise the ordinary, and reach for the extraordinary. How does he do it? Four things. Number one, he says you have to be passionate in your ambition. The Bible says, now Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed. You know, at first glance, it doesn't sound like an extraordinary prayer. If you're a praying person, I'd guess most of us in this room have said, God, bless us today. God, would you send your blessings my way? God, I need your blessings in my life. But Jabez added a word, and it's a unique word in the Hebrew. He says, bless me indeed. That's like typing it in all capital letters. It's like using bold. It's like putting 5 exclamation marks at the end of it. Lord, bless me indeed, above and beyond. In fact, he is saying here, I am not so bashful, God, that I would pray just for your blessings. I want your biggest blessings. I want your best blessings. And Jabez understood there was nothing wrong with praying this way. There's nothing wrong with praying for prosperity or success. You just have to know what prosperity and success is from God's perspective. It's all through the Bible. In the scripture in Joshua 1, God says to Joshua, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then what? You'll be prosperous and successful. That's God's promise. He says in Psalm 1, the very first psalm, he's talking about the righteous, people who walk with God, people who are obedient to God. And he says they are like trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They're evergreen. And they prosper in all they do. Go forward to Nehemiah. Nehemiah goes back with the refugees and the slaves of Babylon. They leave and go back to Jerusalem. And they're building the wall. And he gets criticized. Sanballat and Tobiah criticize him. And he says, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim on historic right to it. The theme of God giving success and prosperity to his people is throughout the Bible. God wants you in your life, your home, your family, your church. He wants to prosper. He wants to give us great and generous blessings. He delights in blessing his people. But what does it mean in the biblical sense to be blessed? It means you gain the supernatural favor of God to advance the kingdom of God. That you receive whatever and however God blesses you, but it's not for you personally. It's not to make you more powerful. It's not to increase your possessions. Oh, he may do that, but the reason he does that is what? To influence this world for his kingdom and bring honor to him. And you know what? I can only think of one reason not to pray for God's blessing of prosperity and success on my life. And here's the reason. Because I don't believe that God can bless what I'm doing. And if I don't believe God can bless what I'm doing, I need to stop doing it. And start doing what God wants me to do so that I can ask his blessings of prosperity upon my life. You see, we know this because Jabez left it entirely up to God what blessing God would give him. He didn't say, give me land, give me money, give me popularity, give me power. He said, God, bless me indeed. In other words, God, I want everything you have for me. See, God created you for a reason. He planned you for a purpose. And Jabez understood that, and he's just saying, God, I want all of it, whatever you planned for me. I don't want to live in the ordinary. I want to live in the extraordinary. And he said, God, you decide the timing. You decide the form of the blessing. You decide the content of the blessing. You decide the method of the blessing. All Jabez wanted was what God wanted for Jabez. And when you ask God to bless you that way, when you ask God to bless you this way, he can bless you. Now, if you're asking God to bless you so that you have more power and more popularity and a greater position and greater possessions, he won't do it. In fact, the Bible in Jeremiah 45:5 says, are you seeking great things for yourself? Don't do it. That's the warning of Jeremiah. Don't do it. If you're asking blessings for what the greatness will do for you, God doesn't honor that. But if your ambition is to be whatever God made you to be, you can go to him and say, God, in your timing, in your method, and whatever you want to do, but I want everything you want for me. God has a reason for you to be here. Are you fulfilling that? The second thing, you be pointed in your approach. He says, God bless me indeed. And then he says, expand my territory. Now, some people would take this and say, aha, he did. He wants 20,000 acres of land. No, you have to understand that phrase, expand my territory. Because it's talking about influence. It's not talking about property. What he is saying, when he talks about expand my territory, expand my boundaries, he's saying, God, I don't need 20,000 acres. I want you to expand my influence to the people who live on 20,000 acres. You see, he doesn't want a limit to his influence. He wants a larger opportunity to do something for the kingdom of God. Jabez must have looked around at the circumstance of his life and said, I believe I was born for more than this. I believe God wants to do something in my life. I believe God has more than this for me, and if he does, I'm going to ask him for it. I want what God wants. You see, we've already established that Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it in its fullness, extraordinary. That's what God wants. Doesn't mean he's going to make us all wealthy. Doesn't mean he's going to make us all drive Maseratis. Some of you get a Volkswagen. I think he wants me to have the Maserati, all right? No, just kidding. You know what I mean. But if I am where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to be, I can be a missionary in Djibouti and be living an extraordinary life because it's what God has for me. It's what God wants. And that's what he's asking here. Lord, this is not a selfish prayer. I want to have more so I can do more. I'm not trying to get more so I can keep more. I'm trying to get you to bless me so I can give more. I think that's what God's saying to our church. I think that's what that building is all about. It's about you and me having greater opportunities to serve our community with what God gives us. I think Awana's going to do that. I think Amplify. I went the other day, Thursday, to Helping Hands. They began their 30th year. They began their 30th year as Helping Hands. Do you know in that 30 years they have given away hundreds of thousands of blankets and scarves and little hats that cover the heads of premature babies and book holders. I can't even tell you all they make. See, I think God's saying, we want to expand your influence. In this valley, 88% of the people don't know me. Expand the influence. That's why Sunday night is so relevant right now. Too many Christians, too many churches, live under a cloud of complacency. They sleep in a cocoon of comfort and are satisfied walking when they ought to be running. God has drawn us. You know, somebody asked me, are you disappointed that it was 2.2 million and not the 3 million that we were setting a goal for? Well, yeah, humanly inside me, yes. But am I discouraged? No. I read this quote by Uncle Buddy Robinson. You probably never heard of Uncle Buddy. He was a Pentecostal preacher. And here's what his quote said. Any preacher, that would be me, is better off to plan something too big and do half of it than he would be to plan nothing and do all of it. I think that's it. Psalm 81 says, I am the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. That's the picture of a baby bird in a nest. You ever seen a baby bird? The biggest part of their body is their mouth. Oh, and is their mouth open wide when they sense their mother is near? Yes. They'll push another little bird out of the nest to get what mama's got. They open that mouth wide and mama fills it. See, God just has to put it in our heart to pray, so that we can have all God wants us to have, that we can do all we can for God and be all we can be for God. That takes us to number three, and that is be purposeful in your aim. He says, please be with me in all that I do. Now, what's he prayed so far? God, bless me indeed. I want everything in my life that you want for me. Are you confident right now? Could you say right now, I am receiving from God everything he wants for me. Because the Bible says that he wants to do exceedingly more than we can imagine or dream. God bless me indeed. Enlarge my influence. And now he says, be with me in all that I do. Why does he pray that? Because the blessor is better than the blessing. Having God is more important than the blessing of God. You seek God before you seek the blessings of God. That's why God said to Joshua, be careful not to move away from this word. That's why the psalmist says that the righteous man draws to God and then he is like a tree planted beside the waters. You seek God first, because nothing is impossible if God has his hand on you. And nothing is impossible with the church if God has his hand upon us collectively. We've got to pray that God's hand will be on us in such a way that what happens here cannot be explained by human effort. That it cannot be explained by human effort. We've got to see God doing things that cannot be explained by programs. Because if we can explain why it's happening, there's no faith involved. And if there's no faith involved, there's no trust. And if there's no trust, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, when old Elijah went and faced the prophets of Baal, Elijah goes to challenge these 400 prophets of Baal. He's going to try to defeat them and call fire down from heaven. Do you know what the Bible says? And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. When Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, he said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And he took that ragtag band of refugees and rebuilt the walls and began one of the greatest revivals in the Old Testament. For Jabez, what did he pray? Be with me in everything I do. You know, when the United States put together the Declaration of Independence, what were we saying to Great Britain? Keep your hands off of us. Don't try to legislate us. Don't try to tell us what to do. We will go to war over that. We are a free nation. The Declaration of Independence. This little statement right here, that's a declaration of dependence. He's saying, God, don't take your hand off of me. Be with me in everything that I do. Don't let me go. Keep your hands on me. Why? Because there is nothing you cannot handle if the hand of your God is with you. There is no problem you cannot solve. There is no circumstance you cannot face if the hand of the Lord is with you. And then number four, be positive in your aid. It says, and you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. That's a kind of an odd way to end a prayer, isn't it? Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. Why does he pray that? Because I think Jabez understands that the more you pray for the real blessings of God, what God wants in your life, and the more that God blesses your life and expands your influence and is with you, the greater the effort of the enemy against you. I said more than one time when we started building, when God says arise and build, the devil raises his ugly, gnarly head and says, arise and tear down. See, the devil doesn't worry about a church that lives in complacency. He worries about a church that walks by faith. And he doesn't worry about Christians much if they're complacent. If you haven't met the devil this week, you won't be careful. You may be walking the same way. But if you're walking with God, you're going to bump into it. And I think that Jabez is humble enough to say, Lord, keep me holy. Don't let me get a big head. Don't let me think I'm better than somebody else. I think about Samson in the Old Testament. Samson, from the moment of his birth in the womb, was destined to be extraordinary. His strength was extraordinary. His wisdom was extraordinary. His dedication to God, extraordinary. His hair was extraordinary. Some of us are jealous of that. And what happened? He got full of himself, and he lost his supernatural strength. And it made him just one of the boys. You don't want to be just one of the boys or one of the girls. You don't want to be like the rest of the crowd. So you pray, God, bless me with everything you want me to have so that it enlarges my influence. And God, be with me. Don't let me get a big head in this. Keep me holy and humble, and I'll serve you. That's your choice. Stand with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's power in this prayer of Jabez. But it's your power, not ours. There's blessing in this prayer, but it's your blessing, not our blessing. We don't define the blessing. Lord, give me money. Lord, give me position or popularity. It's, Lord, give me what you put me on this earth to do. And let us use it for the good of others and for your glory. Some of us today would have to say we've not enjoyed all the blessings you have for us. Would you bring them to us as we walk with you? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.